one's training in the martial arts remains high up in the top 10 favourite activities of your average satin-suited peaceful warrior, the nunchaku flaying Li in Enter the Dragon, or the sword-swishing aerial flights amongst the bamboo forests of Ang Lee's Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, all conjure up in our collective imagination one of Jung's archetypal heroes. Yet surely we should be teaching our children, by story or by example, to resolve their conflicts with words, not weapons. Join me, the Teapot Monk, for this week's discussion on Talking Tai Chi. Everybody, and welcome back to Talking Tai Chi with the Teapot Monk. Last week, we began our three-part series on the martial aspects of Tai Chi by looking at whether Tai Chi has managed to transcend its fighting origins or whether it is still chained to its ancestral past. And I believe we quite conclusively showed that it has managed to successfully do neither, other than dabble about in all sorts of fields, claiming supremacy of style, claiming lineage back to Lao Tzu, and claiming to be a panacea for the world's health problems. Let no one accuse Tai Chi of being a modest art.
Sir, yes, sir!
However, this week we're going to focus on weapons, because if one element appears anachronistic in the agenda of a 21st century urban warrior, then it is surely the notion that sword training in Tai Chi is a useful and socially constructive skill. If I'm honest, since learning the broadsword in London back in the late 1980s, I can't recall a single moment when during a job interview, for example, or on a blind date, or when rescuing a squashed pigeon from under the wheels of a number 8 double-decker bus, I thanked my lucky stars that I'd completed that Tai Chi sword training course. Yet, sword and other weapons training remains high up in the top 10 favourite activities of your average satin-suited peaceful warrior. And not just the sword either. Sabre, staff, Tai Chi fan, Tai Chi ball, Tai Chi ruler, Tai Chi protractor, Tai Chi poppadom, Tai Chi fish finger. The list of Tai Chi weapons is endless, as are the applications and interpretations. However, you may understandably interject at this point by asking, exactly how useful are these skills for personal defence? And even if so, how practical is it for me to carry my sword when I have to pop round to the post office to pick up a stamp? Well, you never know. Perhaps in the supermarket, the cheese slicing machine has broken down and the assistant is asking if anyone should be carrying a large slicing implement on their person. Or after your intense workout with the Tai Chi fan in your local Taoist temple, you're accosted by a group of flick knife carrying thugs outside who are demanding you hand over your freshly ironed satin suit. What do? Well, you whip out your weapon and fan them all into subservience.
Hallelujah.
Personally, weapons are an interesting extension of our Tai Chi, and the practice of wielding a weapon, whether it be the broadsword or the nunchaku, is, I believe, a worthwhile effort for the challenge it throws up. How to maintain composure and balance, concentration and focus, whilst handling a potentially lethal object. This fine balance, this play of opposites, this inner calm and outer force, can teach us something of how to apply the essential martial spirit outside the narrow confines of the competition hall and the sparring ring. Therefore, perhaps this is how we should be defining Marshall, in an increasingly interconnected and global village.
Sir, yes, sir!
Well, that's all for this week, but tune in next week when I'll be concluding this Marshall three-part series by taking up that last point and revealing just what you can do if the idea of conflict turns your stomach. If you want to read more on Sword and Staff, check out the tremendous blog called Cloud Hands by Michael Garofalo. A link is in the show notes. And for a quick visual clue as to how badly the sword form can be performed, I've linked to a couple of small videos showing the 32 posture sword. Thanks for listening, and drop by next week for Redefining the Marshall, Part 3. For an alternative look at the internal arts, visit teapotmonk.com for controversial articles, heated discussions, insightful interviews, and links to the two classic texts on Tai Chi, The Manual of Being Good Boxing, and of course, Tai Chi 50 Essential Questions and Answers. Got a comment or a suggestion? Tweet me at beancurdboxer or email beancurdboxer@gmail.com.